Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This past week was an interesting week for Marty and I and for a lot of people who have kids in O'Fallon. We witnessed a massive resistance up close and in person. The O'Fallon School Board had made a difficult decision to make some serious cuts in their budget, and they felt it was necessary to do those cuts so that they wouldn't be diving into precious reserves that would eventually be gone if the trend towards spending continued. Whether these cuts were appropriate or not, there was this massive resistance of students and parents who loudly and powerfully and yet courteously supported the school and the teachers. After the first meeting, it looked like a massive failure. A second meeting was called, an emergency meeting. No one really knew what to expect. The second meeting was just as loud, but just as courteous, but with a different result. To our amazement, the board completely reversed their decision, and it was really remarkable. Now, I hope, as you heard the gospel lesson of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, that I'm not equating the O'Fallon School Board with the devil, and the students and the parents are the righteous ones. That's not the case. I'm simply wanting to use this as an illustration of how massive resistance is used to a positive effect. I threw up a couple of pictures on the screen there. There was the room in the multipurpose room in O'Fallon. There was a standing room only. This was on the Thursday night meeting after the first meeting. I think some folks might have thought after the first meeting, forget it, it's not worth it. But boy, they showed up in masses. It was pretty amazing. Go ahead and click through. The students were holding up the e-cards for excellence and in education, which is kind of a mark for O'Fallon area. They're very proud of their schools, and the students really came out in mass to support the teachers that were potentially going to be laid off. Go ahead, and there's just some more of the pictures there, and one more. I had to get my daughter because she was in that mess too. Okay, I think that's the last one, isn't it? Yeah. One wonders, I certainly wonder, how different Adam and Eve's story and ours might have been had they banded together and put up a massive resistance against Satan and obeyed the Lord. But they didn't. And the fall of Adam and Eve has affected every generation since. And as you look at our world today, we could easily conclude that from Adam and Eve until our very moment, the fall of man has had an irreversible and irreparable effect on our society. And that is until Jesus showed up. The amazing thing is there wasn't a massive resistance in the way you might think. All alone, Jesus faced temptation. And he responded to the devil's temptations with resistance that is substantial, solid, and grounded in Scripture. In other words, it was massive. Learning to resist temptation begins with Jesus' work and his life. The items offered by the devil are certainly alluring. Satan offers Jesus an attractive package of bread, fame, and power. The lure is real. Jesus was hungry in the wilderness, wrestling with a vocation sure to lead him to suffering and death, and maybe sooner than he thought. And the devil came and offered a way out. He offered perks, proposed a big splash in the big media market. Who couldn't resist? Good question. Who could resist? Given an offer of bread after 40 days of fasting, fame as the one and only Son of God, and total world power at the beginning of a career, how many of us would say no? How many would turn away from others that met every physical, spiritual, and political need? How many of us have the courage to offer massive resistance when confronted by similar attractions? Not many. Most of us are not very good at resisting temptation. The truth is, we're much better at compromising than we are at resisting. We make compromise between our desire to serve God and our desires for food, fame, and power. But when it comes to obeying God, Jesus does not preach or practice a message of compromise. Instead, he shows us what massive resistance to temptation looks like in a perfect man. But then he goes on to do something extraordinary, and that is he suffers for us as perfect humanity. How important that we see that first. What God has done in Jesus, what had to be done for the rescue of all humanity. And only when we see the work of Jesus can we see his life as an example for the church. And the reason is, unless we bind ourselves to this victorious one, this one who knew how to give massive resistance, we have no massive resistance. Jesus' massive resistance supports us when we are facing the temptations that lead us away from God. We begin to follow Jesus by taking a close look at how he responded to temptation with that massive resistance of his. The first thing the devil dangled in front of Jesus was bread. Sounds simple enough. But we know full well Jesus was famished. Maybe we don't know full well. 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan says, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Put yourself in Jesus' sandals after a 40-day fast. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Jesus was terribly hungry. He had a physical need for sustenance, and he had the God-given power to make rocks bread. But instead of filling his stomach, he said, "It is written." One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy in his answer, and in so doing, he used Scripture as part of his massive resistance. There's more to life than the meeting of physical needs. According to Deuteronomy and Jesus, much more important is striving to live by the Word of God. Since it was the devil who suggested that he satisfy his hunger with bread, Jesus had to resist. He chose instead to be nourished by the Word of God. Jesus showed massive resistance to physical temptation by focusing on the Word of God. Sometimes impossible for us. But Jesus did it to serve us. He trusted God during his 40 days in the wilderness, just as the people of Israel trusted God during their 40 years of wandering. In all such wilderness experiences, God provides us with what we need for life. It may not be what we want, but it is exactly what we need. Next, the devil used the Word of God to try to seduce Jesus, the Son of God. He took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, "If you're the Son of God," trying to cast doubt in his mind, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up." This was Satan's spiritual temptation, since he used a portion of the Psalms to get to Jesus, to make that leap of faith and show the world that he was indeed God's Son. You know, the devil can be quite devilish, especially when he uses Scripture to lure people away from God's will. At this point, the deck almost seems stacked against Jesus, because Satan was pointing out that Jesus was God's Son and that Scripture promised him protection. Correct on both counts. But Jesus is suspect of anything that pointed away from God, even a mention of his own special status and a good quotation from the Bible. So he replies, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And laying even a stronger set of cards on the table, there was another line from Deuteronomy that warned against challenging God to prove himself. Even those who are baptized and masters of Scripture should resist trying to force God's hand. Although we might think that we know what God should do, only God is the master of God's will. And at times, we're tempted to believe that we'll get healing because we have prayed for it, get ahead because we have lived good lives, or get justice because the wicked deserve to be punished. But we should never allow ourselves to put God to the test. God will be God, and God is not bound by our interpretation of Scripture or our ideas about how God should act. He says, "Those who I love, I will deliver." God promises to deliver us, but probably in ways that are so far beyond our comprehension, we would never even think it. Finally, the devil tossed out the political solution, the political temptation, maybe I should say. He showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and said, "All of this I'm going to give you if you'll simply fall down and worship me." Again, Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Satan saved his political power ploy for last because he knew that it was a tricky temptation. If Jesus had said yes, he could have made the world a better place. Think of it. Just imagine the possibilities. He could have eradicated poverty and disease, eliminated warfare, and extended his loving influence around the globe. World domination was a very real possibility, since it was achieved just 300 years earlier when Alexander the Great had extended his influence of culture and language over the known civilization. How much better would it have been for Jesus to extend his influence? temptation to rule the world must have been a strong one for Jesus. He was in the age of Alexander at the height of his power. And the devil was offering him all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus showed massive resistance. Once again, returning to God's word, worship the Lord your God, and only Him shall you serve. You know, we face similar temptations when we think that the ends justify the means. When we believe that compromise is necessary to get anywhere in life. When we feel that it's okay to cut corners because, oh gosh, everybody's doing it. At times like these, it's critical to remember what Jesus said and did. All power and glory and authority mean nothing if they require you to stop worshiping and serving the Lord your God. Wow. Well, Matthew tells us that the devil quit at that point, left Jesus, and angels came and ministered to him. You know, it's just a feeling that I have, but I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to fast for 40 days. I have to imagine that Jesus was close to death in that moment. So much for him might have changed had he compromised with Satan. But he put up a massive resistance until Satan gave up. Oh yes, Jesus would be tempted again. And he would face additional challenges throughout his ministry. But out of the story comes good news and a lesson in offering massive resistance to physical, spiritual, and political temptations. Jesus mounted his resistance at the very beginning of his ministry. Think of that. Jesus, true God and true man, had come to serve humanity through his resistance, providing us his salvation from Adam and Eve's fall. And our faith confirms that without Jesus, there is no good news. We should also take note that our resistance must always be grounded in the example of Jesus, who looked to God and His Word for power to resist Satan's deadly temptations. And as we live in Christ, we will never face temptation alone. He is standing with us in His massive resistance. His victory over sin, death, and the grave. It's all certain because of His work and His life. That is laid up for us to remind us of the great forgiveness God has provided for us. And along with that salvation comes an encouragement to stand beside Him faithfully and to resist the devil and all his works and all his ways. We cannot do it without him. We cannot in our own power resist Satan, no matter how many of us band together. But how beautiful that God refers to the church as his body, the body of Christ, to stand and resist temptation. God grant that we continue to look to God first, and then to each other for encouragement to stand against the temptations Satan throws our way. Because of Christ, we've already overcome. But now we put the fight to resist Satan according to the will of God. God grant us that power in Jesus. Amen.